Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm blessed, and how are you?
Blessed and highly favored. Can you hold on for a second? I've got a call coming in.
Sure.
That was my wife's sister, Deborah. She was calling to ask if I took the milk home.
That's good.
Yeah, she's so diligent. Yeah, I took it home, put it in the refrigerator, cleared out, made space, made room, and made sure that I put it in the back of the other milk so that the other milk gets... Well, no, I didn't. I put it in front of the other milk. I'm glad you said something. Let me switch that around. And she's so diligent that she went to one of the gas stations. You know, you get points, right? And so she went to the gas station and found out she had enough points to get some milk. So she bought some milk and she took it to the office and to the sanctuary and she put it in that refrigerator. And then I accidentally went in that refrigerator. And the guy that works there says, hey, I said, where did the milk come from? He said, oh, your wife put it there. I said, I better get that home. I know what's going on. All right?
Right.
So how's your week going?
Blessed. I cannot complain. My sister is, I found out my sister is in the hospital. And her blood pressure is good. The diabetes is good, but for whatever reason, her eyes are giving her problems. So she fell, and we were trying to figure out why did she fall. So my nephew took her to the hospital, and they admitted her, but she's coming home today. The power of prayer is just amazing. And
what is her name?
Cheryl. Remember you prayed for her with
yes,
her
ma'am.
Yes,
ma'am.
Yes, and prayer is amazing. And I'm just happy and thankful to God that it was nothing more serious, far as I know. But I know she had a toothache where she had a tooth that was bad in her mouth and she couldn't get a dentist to pull the tooth. So I don't know if
really,
they,
why couldn't she get a dentist to pull the tooth?
They would not tell her why. Something about they weren't taking new patients and something else about they didn't have no available emergency appointments, and urgent care wouldn't take her neither. Like, what is going on? So that put me in a praying mode.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's God's
we'll have prayer for her tonight too as well.
Thank you. Take care of my sister.
Yeah, bless her heart. She's an awesome woman.
Thank you.
Brother Latif, God bless you. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, bless you too.
Thank you. She said, God bless you, Latif. I don't think you heard her.
Oh, I said, God bless you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, well,
thank
y'all
you.
Keep sharing all that enthusiasm with us. Amen. Amen. We also have a caller that joined us. This is from Philadelphia.
Go ahead, Linda. I'm sorry. Blessings, Shalom to you. My name is Linda. I'm joining on invitation to from Angela.
Oh, praise the Lord. God bless you, Brenda. Thank you for joining us.
God bless
Thank you.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am. We have Sister Angela who just joined.
Hello, hello, everybody. Love you all.
Hello.
Amen.
I love you.
And we have Sister Wanda that just joined.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Say that again.
God bless you.
I thought you said,
No, go ahead. Yeah, well, yeah, I'm going to enthuse our enthusiasm tonight. Praise the Lord. Because I'm on fire.
Amen.
Let me try that again. I am on fire.
Amen.
Because every morning when I wake up, I see the goodness of God. I recognize it's a brand new day of grace and mercy. And all I need to do is do my best with this day. No matter what trouble comes, that trouble is going to be met by a God who has a covering over my life. No matter how many situations occur, I know that they're temporary because joy cometh in the morning. And so I, you know, carrying that enthusiasm, praise the Lord, allows Satan to be all confused, messed up, and deluded. Because he can't figure out why what he's doing ain't working on you. So I don't know where you are, but I can tell you, I'm still in the place of blessed and highly favored. So I glorify God for everybody's here. I'm going to go around the room and just kind of see how people are doing. We'll do a spiritual check-in and a life check-in moment. So let's start with Brother Latif. How's your week going?
Oh, it's going really good. Just constantly learning, you know, reading deeper into the Bible, you know, learning about Paul right now, just really trying to drill it in my brain. You know, I actually came across Acts in my second time reading it. It's kind of crazy how, like, you read a passage and then, like, it finally, like, you understand it. There's, like, it's weird. It's, like, the first time I read through these passages, like, I got it, but I didn't get it. But then, like, the second time, you know, it kind of, like, clicked. It made a lot of sense. So just continuing to study as much as I can and try to, you know, get closer to the Lord.
Amen. Awesome.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Latif. Yes, let's go to Sister Deborah from Philadelphia. Sister Deborah, right?
Oh, Linda. Linda and
Linda, go ahead.
It's okay. Oh, no problem. And I have a Philadelphia number, but I'm located in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm originally from Madison, so I just returned.
See, my okay. Well, praise the Lord. Say that again, Angela.
You might know who her dad is.
Okay. She might want to share that. So tell us a little bit about you, Sister Linda.
I'm originally from Madison. My dad was Taylor Smitty Smith. He used to own...
No, he is not.
Yes.
Second Baptist.
Second Baptist.
Yeah,
there you go. I played for Second Baptist.
Wow.
Yes.
That's who I was talking about earlier this morning, Pastor.
Isn't that interesting, Latif? Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. We love him. We love him for life, and we're going to love him in the afterlife. We know where he is, and we praise God. He's cut my hair many a times. He's put
oil
on my head. He's put oil on my head not to keep the bumps from coming, but to keep the evil from showing up. He loved me in a way that I don't think you get too oftenly in Madison, because he saw anointing and he was trying to make sure that I developed a certain way so I didn't get tainted by some of the mess in the church. And he used to make sure that he always spoke to me and always asked me, how is the Lord speaking to you now? So we love him. So thank you for being here. We praise God for your presence. You're a keyboard player, aren't you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You got it.
Yeah, I used to be at Second Baptist for a period of time.
Oh,
I was a member
there
for a period of time. Back when just before Pastor Moss left, and then, you know, when the split occurred, Pastor Moss leaves. But I remember coming to visit. That was just this Pastor Wade. I played drums while you were playing the organ one day.
Oh, my goodness. It is a small world.
yes, it's a small kingdom.
It is.
Hallelujah. All right. Yeah. So let's go to, so Sister Linda, how's your week going? Let's talk about that first. How's everything going in your week? What is it that you're looking to grasp and garner from God? And what are you hoping for tonight?
I'm just grateful tonight. I am grateful. You know, it's it's so funny because when you look at other people and they're going through some things, you know, and you can always, for me, it's like, you know, I get excited when I see folks dealing with things and grappling with stuff because I know God is in control. And, you know, things have to come up and they have to be dealt with in order, you know, out in the open in order for the Lord to deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, mm-hmm. that happens to, you know, to me personally, I'm like, wait a minute, don't get in your own head. This is exactly the same thing. So I am just grateful and thankful today that everything that the Lord is revealing, everything that's coming up, I know it's because it's time is up. So I'm just grateful.
Mm-hmm.
He has had, I've been in Exodus a lot, and he's had Exodus 14, 13, and 14 has kind of been a theme the past couple of weeks. It's like, you know, he's telling me this enemy you will see no more. And it's not like, mm-hmm. you know, you have to do the work associated with it. I just need you to stand still in me and know that. And so I'm just grateful. I'm grateful and thankful. Yeah. So I am in anticipation. I know God is dealing with some things and I don't expect them to rear their ugly heads anymore. So I'm grateful.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Sister Angie, how's your week going?
Yes. Oh, it's going very, very good. Very, very good. Just mm-hmm. learning new things about God.
Mm.
And your mind just can't fathom who he really is. I'm in the book of Revelation, and I am blown away. I have a book that is going to break down Revelation. I'm in the Word reading Revelation, but then I'm about to be done. I have four more chapters. And then okay. I'm going to go ahead and read that book to break it completely down so I totally understand it. Because it says whoever reads the book of Revelation is blessed.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank and praise God.
I have Hallelujah. Been blessed. Amen. And we just got joined by Sister Annie Flowers, and I'm assuming Brother Rick Flowers.
Yep.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We're going around the room. We'll have prayer in about 4 or 5 more minutes, but we're just going around the room to do a life check and just see how people are doing through their week. And, you know, are they seeing God do anything spectacular, miraculous? Because he's a miraculous God and he's always doing something, even if you don't see it at the time. Most of the times we don't see what God is doing because we ain't really looking. We too often we send up prayer with no expectation. But God is a God that hears prayer, and he's always working on stuff, even though you don't quite see it manifesting immediately. If God has a long-term plan for our life, it ain't a McDonald's plan. It ain't a Burger King plan. It's not a Happy Meal plan. It's a full-course meal plan. And sometimes it takes them a little bit of time to cook it up right so that we can enjoy glory. So we can enjoy the meal when it's ready for us. So so doing that quick check-in, let's go to the Flowers family. How's your week going?
Well, we're doing fine. Annie's a little under the weather today. Mm-hmm. I'm recuperating. Best to be able to recuperate mm-hmm. and stuff, you know, just hanging in there today.
All right. I think we got it.
Oh, don't talk too much about me, you know.
Mm. Yeah, I know. I know that was a lot for you right there. I know.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Mm. Brother DeJuan, God bless you. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome, Pastor and Church. Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
And so I'm going to go now to Sister Hawanda. who is going to lead us tonight in our Bible study. We're going to be reading, so everyone knows and can prepare. We're going to be reading from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. The premise of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, is going to talk specifically about gifts that we have that God is either developing in us or going to give to us. But those gifts are predicated on specific things that we have to know about how to receive them, and then once we receive them, how we have to use them. Because every gift that God gives is for kingdom building. It's not for empire building, not for you to build your own little nook and nanny and cranny and sit back and talk about how good God is to me. It's going to talk about how good God wants to be to us, and it's going to preface one body. It's going to preface the one faith we're under. It's going to preface why some of us see things in churches that are different from one another. But he's going to also make sure we understand it's still the Holy Spirit. It's still God doing it. And we have to grow into a confidence as the body that even though we may not agree with what one church does or another church does, what one pastor preaches or another pastor preaches, what one evangelist thinks is the way to do things versus what another person does not mean it's not God.
Yeah.
More often it means we don't understand how big God is. God is a very, very big, humongous, enormous planning God. And he can juggle more than one ball at a time. And we're going to see some of those things in tonight's scripture in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. So please, if you have a Bible, please be kind enough to get it. We don't want to read to you. We want to read together. Praise the Lord. We're not here to preach to you. We're here to help teach each other what thus saith the Lord. Because if it's one body, we're going to find out that each of us in this body are very important to the body. We're all important. We are all needed. We are all necessary. And all God is trying to get us to do as the church, I believe, in this day and age, is to come together and recognize we really can work together for the good of the vision that we should be bringing about. Because people are perishing. People are dying. It's getting worse. We have federal government doing ridiculous things, and those ridiculous things are going to filter down into our local areas in probably the next year to a year and a half. And if the body is not prepared, it will get torn apart. They're going to take away people's Medicare. The 12th chapter, they're going to take away people's Medicare. They're taking away food stamps. They're doing everything, not taking them completely away, but they're cutting things. And the one thing you know is when people become desperate, they do desperate things. And so we'll see an increase in crime. We'll see an increase in trouble. We'll see an increase in storms. If we are not prepared, we will get sucked into somebody's storm. If we're prepared, we'll become storm busters. I don't know about you, but I came to be a storm buster, not a storm maker. And so I'm here to learn about the Lord, to gather and to garner as much wisdom as I can get, so I am prepared for this spiritual battle that we live in. Praise the Lord. Also, we also got joined by my sister, Jackie Abrams. Hey, Jackie.
Hey.
God bless you.
Hello, everybody. God bless you.
Amen.
Yeah,
And we got joined from Rockford, my brother Isaac. Is that you?
Right here.
Yeah, God bless you, Isaac.
Amen.
All right, so let's have opening prayer, and let's get to the good food that's going to be on the table. Praise the Lord. Is that good?
Praise the Lord.
Let's get to the food. I'm hungry. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry.
Amen.
So I'm
Amen.
Going to ask. I'm going to reach over to, is Annie on the phone, Rick?
Yeah, she's here.
Yeah, so I'm going to reach out to Minister Annie Flowers and ask her if she would be kind enough
I got the
grace
there,
of mm-hmm. okay. by leading us to the throne of grace tonight.
Hallelujah. Yes, mm-hmm.
Okay. You want the First Corinthians 12 verse 1?
Yeah, we're going to be in First Corinthians 12 chapter, but I'm asking Andy to open us up in prayer, please.
Oh, okay. Pray,
mm-hmm.
baby.
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father God, I just thought that that was the song. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, so I can mm-hmm. see you. And how we learn to see you is through your word. So open
yeah.
up the eyes of our heart. Use this opportunity to speak to our hearts, to
yeah.
let your word in our hearts. Open up our hearts, Lord, so that we can hear and that we can see what you have for your people today.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen somebody. Open
hallelujah.
Our hearts.
Hallelujah.
Glory
amen.
To God. Sister Hawanda, I have turned it over to you. Whenever you're ready.
Yes,
First Corinthians 12 chapter.
And it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant, yet know that ye were Gentiles and carried away unto the dumb idols, even as ye were led. Therefore, I give you to understand that no man speaks by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accused, and that no man can say that accursed.
Mm-hmm.
And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Spirit.
Let's stay right there.
That's
Let's
what I
go
was,
over what we just read. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
I know you felt it. I felt it with you. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, that's all of us. I would not have you to be ignorant. That means
mm-hmm.
illiterate. Doesn't mean dumb, stupid. Doesn't mean unable mm-hmm. to process. And that's big for the body of Christ, because a lot of times, we come into the kingdom measuring ourselves by our education.
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
When what you come into the kingdom of God to do is measure yourself by the standard that God set. And if you follow the standards, you have a Holy Ghost University PhD degree, because
yeah.
even though you may not know it, you now have some authority through God to minister to the world. And if you measure yourself by the foundation of how much education you have,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not saying don't have education, that's important
mm-hmm.
for us. It's important.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't measure yourself by how much you know. In the kingdom, you measure yourself by how much you're willing
mm-hmm.
to learn.
Amen.
Mm.
Yeah,
mm. And so he says that. So I would not have you to be ignorant, meaning illiterate of something. I want you to know this. It's important that you gather it. And then he says this, verse 2, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. And if you thought about that, most of us would say to ourselves, you know, that must be back then, right? But let me define this in the Greek and the Hebrew.
Mm.
So what he's saying is that you know you were Gentiles, meaning not of God. You know that you at one point were not of God, and you were carried away by the dumb idols of your own thinking and personal behaviors.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
The word led comes from the word, I'm working out of my own belief system.
Mm-hmm.
What I believe to be real. What I've
mm-hmm.
learned, what I've put into the atmosphere. And he goes on to talk about how we're going to get rid of that mess. Because what I came in with ain't what God is building on. He's
right.
going to build on what I'm willing to get rid of. Me and
mm-hmm.
Lati were talking about this morning. He builds on what I'm willing to get rid of. If I get rid of an anger issue, he'll give me a peace, mind
mm-hmm.
that. If I get rid of cussing and fussing, he'll explode my vocabulary, because I was using four-letter words to express everything in my life. Now that I have been freed from that, now I can't use those words. What has to happen? I now have to learn how to express emotions and feelings in new ways. So he'll take your cuss words, and he'll develop a vocabulary. So, anybody getting it? Everything in him is about building us up as the body, right? So he says, that not as you were led. So he's asking us, pay attention to not follow what you always thought was right. Because there's some new stuff coming for you. And I got to get rid of some old stuff in order to replace it with the new. Verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man is speaking by the Spirit of God would ever call Jesus accursed. And the word accursed comes from the word bad luck. No one would say that Jesus is bad luck.
No.
Anybody get that?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I want to touch this, then I'm going to give it back to Hawanda. I don't want to get too deep into this, but I think it's very important for us to hear because so many, this is why the Bible says, don't murmur and don't complain. Because every time I'm murmuring, I'm saying I'm in bad luck, but I'm supposed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So how dare I be filled with the Holy Ghost and sit back and think I'm in bad luck? Because I'm not in bad luck. More often, I'm in a transition. And I need to know that sometimes things have to happen to bring about the transition so that he can pour in new. Praise the Lord. Right? So you can't see yourself in God and sit back and say, I got all these problems all the time. Because it doesn't make sense. Not when we think about a Lord and Savior who said, I came that you might have life and life more abundantly. Not when we think of a Lord and Savior who even spoke into our financial condition and said, though I were rich, I even became poor, that you could become rich. Now, he's not telling us that financial richness is our goal. But financial richness is coupled to your spiritual wealth. And if you're spiritually wealthy, you will find finances will follow you. So money is not even what we think it is. Money is a tool that's attracted to the spiritual magnet. So if we let ourselves get healthy in the spirit, you'll find your finances will get fixed as well. Praise the Lord. Amen. I probably preached it already. I shouldn't do that. But I'm going to share with you that the minute you're willing, the minute we become willing to allow the Lord to clean up what's on the inside, not function out of what we've been led by all of our lives, and learn like a little child to be re-led of the Spirit, everything will begin to fix itself. Go ahead, Sister Wanda. We just left off from first, right?
Yes, down verse 4. And there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one it is given by the Spirit of word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gift of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy. To another discerning spirit, discerning of spirit, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But of all these worketh that one and the same self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as we all will.
And as he will. Stay right there. Stay right there, please. All right, so let's talk about that for a minute. So is he saying that only one person can be a healer? Only one person will be wise? Only one person will be knowledgeable? What's he saying here, church family?
I looked up the word severally, and that's what it means. The word severally means separately or individually, so which means that he is giving it to more than one individual, you know, and he's giving it in the way that he wants to, because people also have multiple gifts as well.
Praise the Lord. Everybody agree
and
with that?
Plus two. Yep. Mm-hmm. And plus two. And plus two. We all know that the Bible says the gifts are without repentance too. So you can have people in the in the worst living conditions, the hood. It could be at the store. It could be a drug addict. It could be an alcoholic, and they have the gifts too.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So let's explain that. That was a whole thoughtful, right?
Mm-hmm.
More than a handful. Mm-hmm. It was a thoughtful. Let's explain that. What do you mean the alcoholic could have it? What do you mean by that?
The gifts are without repentance, that God dispersed them because he is God Almighty and he can give them to who he wants to give them to. It doesn't matter. You're not a special person. It doesn't mean you pray more than the next. It doesn't mean you walk holier than the next. None of that. It's just he's God Almighty and he gives them to who he chooses.
Does everybody agree with that?
Yes.
That's going on alone. Lucky, you agree with that?
Oh yeah.
Yes, sir.
I knew a guy who used to live around here, was homeless, named Freddie. Old black guy. I think he went down south. But he was an alcoholic. Don't call alcoholic, Freddie. But he could recite, he memorized the Bible. He could recite all the verses and he was really good.
Wow. Ooh, boy.
You wouldn't think that. You know, him being the alcoholic and homeless and drunk and everything. But he, you know, homeless by choice, I guess. His daughter took him. He's down south, I think. I hope he's still good.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he got him out of here. But, you know, I was amazed at his Bible knowledge.
Now, I'm glad you said that, Rick. Let's go back a couple of verses. Let's go back up to verse 3 again.
Yeah.
Because and because that, Rick, you bring up a really great subject matter and a really great point about us as believers. So if we can have all these gifts, well, what's the point of, if they're just given to us, what's the point of seeking God? I already got it. I might as well just go on and do my thing in the world and know that, you know, God's been blessed me to do these certain things, so I might as well just do it any old kind of way, no principles, no structure, just do it,
can
right?
Can I say something? Can I say something?
Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so with what you just got through saying, now this is one of the caveats to what I had just said. Now, you have people who have the gifts, and they misuse them because they are not in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we have psychics. Therefore, we have people who do, weird healings and all that other stuff. And then that's when it crosses over to a whole lot of trouble. So with that being said, it's such a oxymoron, you know. So it's left up to everybody on this planet. Either they're going to choose Christ with their gifts or choose themselves with their gifts. And you will be held accountable.
So based on what you're saying, Sister Angela, you're saying, because all of these gifts don't come with just being born. Some of them do.
No.
Like, for instance, there's the gift of speaking in tongue. Typically, tongue only comes when a person is filled with the Holy Ghost. And it becomes an evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost so that the body can recognize this person truly is communing with God. It's sort of a check and balance. It also becomes like a seal. Mm-hmm. It also becomes this seal of redemption, because talking, speaking in tongue is one of the greatest gifts that God has given us. And the reason why it's a gift and the reason why it's a great gift is because the Bible says that the Spirit gives utterance in things that we don't know what to ask for. And so a lot of times when you're moaning and groaning, that's kind of a tongue language, because God is a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. So he's reading really our hearts when we think he's listening to the prayer. What he's doing is reading the circumstance, looking into the heart and say, okay, this is what you're asking for, but this is what I know you really need.
Right. Yes. They also have, yes. I mean, there's also a scripture in the Bible where we are supposed to ask for the gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We're mm-hmm. supposed to desire the gifts really deeply. That's mm-hmm. what we want for the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They have done studies here. They've done studies in universities where people, they monitor people's brain waves when they were praying in English or praying in mm-hmm. their native tongue. And when they did it in tongues, it wasn't any brain activity. It was just them praying out, because it is a heavenly language. It's not your person. It is the Holy Spirit speaking directly to God from you, you know.
Yeah.
And you don't know
mm-hmm.
what's being said or whatever else, but it is a heavenly prayer language. And so when I saw that study, I was like, wow, that was amazing. They had a lot of brain activity when the person was just doing a regular prayer. Then they switched that person over and said, start praying in tongues.
Sure.
Because you can pray in tongues and your mind will be moving all over the place. But your spirit
mm-hmm.
man is praying to God, directly to God.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying they found out that it wasn't measurable, because there's no measurement from God to God to man.
Nope.
Man doesn't get to measure God. God gets to measure man.
Right? Yep.
So that's what you're saying. So mm-hmm. let's go back to, let's talk about these gifts for a second, and then we'll get back to the reading. Verse 3 again. Wherefore I give you to understand, it's important for us to know, in other words, that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God would call Jesus a curse. That my relationship mm-hmm. brings out this all this bad luck, right? And that no man can say, this is the important part, that Jesus or Yahshua is the Lord, except they have the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
So why did he put that asterisk point in that statement? Is because, yes, you could be born with gifts, and if you haven't resolved yourself over to Christ, those gifts can be used by the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So in other words, a smart man, a person that has the gift of knowledge, and knowledge is just mm-hmm. to know things, to be able to, you know, take information, bundle that information up and be able to share it and or use it. That's what you were talking about the man that was that was in bondage to alcohol. He had the gift of knowledge.
Mm. Yeah.
The knowledge was there. He was able to retain information, keep information, and then replay that information for people. But he didn't have the gift of the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost would have used that knowledge in a completely different way, and the results would have had to come, because God never wants us to represent him and be able to represent him in a way that people can walk away and go, I don't know why you keep telling me your God is so good, because when I look at your life, it's too bad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you ever sit back and tell me your God is good. Your light's off
mm-hmm.
all the time, not once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Your gas is never on. You're mm-hmm. over here borrowing $50 every other week to get gas mm-hmm. to put in your car. You got a job. How is your God that good if this is still going on in your world? And so the gifts, many gifts come with birth, because that's why the Bible says your gift make it room for you, right? Your gift is meant to open doors. It's meant to plow down and close doors that Satan has opened. And so there's several gifts, but without the Holy Ghost, you can know about God and you'll never acknowledge him as Lord over your life.
Right.
Let me try that again.
Yeah.
You can know all about God. You can believe there's a God, but there's only one way to God according to the Bible, and that's through Christ. And when we come through Christ and go through the process that Christ has to go through, which is the repentance part, I got to be able to see I'm wrong. If I can't see I'm wrong, I'm not going to admit to it. That's quite natural. Some people see they're wrong and still can't admit to it. But if you know you're wrong and you know you've done something the wrong way, repentance is how we get on the straight and narrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad thing. It's not a self-incrimination thing like many people think of repentance as. They think if I have to tell everybody how big of a crook I've been or may still be acting like, it's self-incrimination. It's saying that I'm imperfect in some way. But when you recognize the power and the love and the grace of your God, you begin to realize, oh, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So ain't none of us perfect in his sight. So I don't have to live in this false imagery of me. I can now become transparent, honest, open, and I can speak to people from that place of openness. Just as a quick, God bless you, whoever just joined. Thank you for being here. I can now speak to people. We're in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, for whoever just joined us. 1 Corinthians 12 chapter. That's Bridget. Pastor. Bridget, God bless you.
Hi, Pastor Merle.
That's my praise the Lord. I'm glad to hear your voice. Nuki, she's giggling. So, Bridget, we're in 1 Corinthians 12 chapter. I don't know if Latia is sharing his Bible with you or whether you got your own, but please join us in the reading part. So it's imperative to know that we have gifts, and every gift that God has given you was meant to prosper you. That's why he talks about to prosper all over all, with all. It's meant to prosper you. Many of us are living outside of our gifts. Many of us are great speakers, and we're working someplace that tells you to shut up. Many of us are just natural born psychologists. We can see things that are bothering people. We know how to advise them, right? And we're someplace working, and we're a nurse and we're trying to heal people that way. When your gift was meant to be used a different way, but if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you won't know how to use the gifts. Yeah. Hello. The Holy Ghost is the key ingredient to break loose and refine that gift so that it begins to serve in the manner in which God intended it. And when it serves in the manner that God intended it, that gift will also bring prosperity. Let me say that again.
Amen.
That gift will then produce prosperity. Some of us are mathematicians and don't even know it. You can add faster than everybody. You can see the end result of a sum faster than most people. And you're working in Burger King as the cashier when God was trying to get you to become the owner of Burger King.
Come on.
Praise the Lord. And so did everybody get that? Do we get it? You have gifts. And the Bible says your gifts are supposed to be without repentance. I should not be sorry for who I am. I should be developing who I am.
Lord.
Some people, you ever met some people that just argue all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody on the line ever met people that argue a lot?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes.
That gift is the gift of an attorney. That's what it was meant for. To argue people's cases, to be able to pull justice out. And most people would spend more time arguing with somebody over pittances, those little things of right and wrong, and never go out and use what the gift was for, because that's God's gift to bring justice to the earth. And they're so busy trying to bring it at home, the argument just turns into more trouble because they don't understand the gift without the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Everybody get it?
The Lord.
Got it.
Any questions about that?
No.
I have a statement.
All right. Praise the Lord. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that also I discerned from verse 3 is that's how we know the difference, because the devil or anything, body dealing and anything satanic, will never confess that Yahshua is Lord. So that's how we actually know the difference. Right there. So, and that's how you find out the difference, because some gifts do come without repentance, like you said, you dealing with a psychic, they not going to confess Christ. Do that. So that's how we know the difference.
Amen. All right, let's keep going then. Any questions, any thoughts before we move on to the next section of reading?
No.
Praise the Lord. Sister Wanda?
Verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and have many members, and all the members of the one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we all the one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bound or free, and have been all made to drink into the Spirit, into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where we were hearing, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, what were the smelling? But now have God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body? And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the hand of the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary.
Stay right there. Somebody tell me what we just read in that. How do you interpret that? How do you hear that? Go ahead.
I hear it as saying basically all of the gifts is basically analysis or metaphor of explaining the spiritual gifts and how they all work together. Basically, your body needs this hand, you know, and without the hand, you know, you can't say without this that it don't need this or that it's not a body because of this. So it just gives us an analogy of the spiritual gifts as being the body. He describes it as being that we all need each other, like you were explaining at the beginning before we started, that we need all of our body parts to function, just like we need all of the spiritual gifts to function. But it's all under the same Spirit, Holy Spirit.
Yes, ma'am. Anybody else? Please share what you hear and what the Spirit is saying to you. Let me go through the room. Lati?
What did you say?
What did you hear from the scripture you just read? What is it saying to you? What are you pulling from it? Because this is, the Bible says that the words, Jesus made sure we knew the words I speak, their spirit. This should be resonating in our spirit. It should be like bells going off, right? Mm-hmm. You should be seeing some things, I would hope, and go, all right, I can remember I saw somebody doing this. Now I see why they shouldn't be doing it and so forth. So what do you receive from it?
Seeing, like you said, what they shouldn't be doing. You talk about people with spiritual gifts and what they should or shouldn't be doing.
I think you're too close to your wife, Lati, and you're getting feedback. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I heard that. But is that what you meant, though?
Yeah, so what do you receive? Let me start it. Here's what I receive. If I read 12, even if I just read the whole chapter, I get this. I get Paul is telling us that the church, as weird as it sometimes looks, has a purpose. No matter whose church it is, unless they're talking demonic talk, it has a purpose. It's part of the body. The other thing I get is that many people have gifts. Those gifts are necessary in order to build kingdom. Next thing I get when we get into this last chapter, or last couple of verses we read, is there is a reality to what's called anointing envy. See? The left hand be mad because it ain't the head. And should the head be mad? And so it tells us we must protect ourselves against envy and anointing. We have to protect ourselves because that's what is dividing the church. People are envying other people's gifts or don't appreciate the gift, because I can tell you, I think I'll make this a little funny. So he analogizes the human body. So the nose is there. The nose may not be happy if I go out and run all day and then hold my arm up to it. If I've been jogging all day and I'm a little, you know, in need of a shower, the nose may not be happy with the armpit. So there are some times when we are not recognizing or can be walking and not recognizing, because most of us have felt it, I believe, because I don't know how many people I talk to who go, I was in that church and they just didn't even help me to grow in my gifts, or they were shutting down the gift. That's spiritual anointing envy, because the purpose of the body of Christ, to me, the purpose of the body of Christ is to build the body of Christ. And that's why Jesus said, go out and make disciples, which means to turn people into what God already instilled in them and to help them to become the fullness of it and the best of it, rather than to be mad because somebody didn't preach the way you wanted them to. And that's important to catch, because every message ain't for me. Sometimes you can sit in the church and you can go, I didn't get nothing out of that. But 52 other people were walking around going, praise the Lord. That's anointing envy. That's envying the gifts. And I think Paul hits that. He's not saying that we're all necessary. He's saying we have to know how to see every gift and recognize that it's necessary. Because if you don't recognize that it's necessary, you'll be mad at Sister So-and-so, because Sister So-and-so's running around here. She just don't never shut up. She got something to say all the time. Why don't she sit all back? The pastor needs to put one of those shepherd rods around her neck and make her sit down. You know, and we get into that place not realizing that our real responsibility is to help them to grow.
Yeah.
To help each other remain fed. To help each other remain in the kingdom, not to cast one another away. And that's why he begins to talk about the body and how important the body is, because each person is necessary. And then he makes sure that those that are mature recognize that the people that are immature are the most important people in the church. What he said was, the most important people in the church ain't the saved. The most important people in the church are the unsaved.
Yeah.
I know a Lord that left 99 to go get one. The most important people are the ones that come through the door that are unsaved, and too oftenly, sometimes churches are the ones that push them away. I don't want them touching me. I don't need to be speaking to that spirit. I don't need to be doing that. But how many of us know that if the Spirit of the Lord, no man can call him Lord unless he has the Holy Ghost? How many of us know if you got the Holy Ghost, you're stronger than any demon?
Oh my God, come on, Pastor.
You're stronger than any devil. You're stronger than any witchcraft. You're stronger than any aircraft. How do you know that part about our walk? Because if that's in you, then there is no weapon formed against you that can actually prosper. And then you begin to walk differently, you talk differently, and your confidence level goes to another level, and they can't touch you, no matter how many times they attempt to touch you, no matter how they talk about you, no matter how they laugh at you, no matter what they say, you understand. The most important person in this church is the person that's talking about me the most.
Come on now.
should probably stop there. Let's keep going. Praise the Lord. Let's keep going. Everybody get that. Do you receive that? You're important to God. And what you don't know, what most people don't know, is that drug addict, is that alcoholic, is that unsaved, is that person is struggling, that God is equipping you to help them. And if we shy from them, if we don't understand that the gifts are without repentance, we never step into the calling and recognize the person without the person that doesn't have shoes needs for a foot to talk to him, not a hand. The person without the gloves needs a hand to talk to.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Right? All right, let's keep going. We're good. I'll get started in a minute, y'all. Yeah. You don't want me to do that. I'll just get carried away. So go ahead, Sister Wanda.
Praise the Lord.
Verse 3 says, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable upon these, we
And go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, what's ma'am.
Okay. That's verse
23. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable upon these, we bestow more abundant honor.
Ooh.
And our
did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
And it says, our uncomely, which I also looked up, which means uncomely means not attractive. And our uncomely parts, which are unattractive parts, have more abundant comeliness. And comeliness is the opposite. So it means the parts that look good, the pleasant, easy on the eyes.
So for we're supposed to take those uncomely folk and help them to become comely. Right?
<Yes.
laughs> Amen. All right, go ahead.
For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body. And schism is to split or divide.
Ooh, come on, you preaching now.
Come on.
In the body, that the members should have the same care one for another.
Wow.
Yes, hallelujah. And whether one suffers, all the members suffers with it. Or one member, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God have set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, help, government, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all these gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet. And I also looked up covet because we are, that's just yearning to express or have.
Mm-hmm.
I think what that Sister Angela talking about, that we should desire to have. Yes, so with the spiritual, with that explaining, yes, we should yearn to have the gift. But covet, yearn to have earnestly the best gift, and yet show unto you a more excellent way.
Amen. Somebody say amen.
Oh, Lord.
Praise
amen.
The Lord.
Can I say this? Can I say this, Dad?
Of course.
Also, too, when you operate in your gifts, you have, like Pastor Moreau said, you have to be humbled. Because it can either go right or it can go left. And plus it's the gifts are not for us. They're never meant for you. You could prophesy with 100% accuracy for somebody else, but when you are going through your storm, you can't get a word through because it's not for you. So we all need to join hands together with our gifts to help the brethren and the sister in the body. And also, it's also to get others outside of the body to come in, because it's, this whole thing is about souls.
Amen.
And the story. Mm. It's about getting it right and getting it for yourselves and reaching back and getting others. Because you have so many people that walk around here and they be like, you can't talk to me unless you call me and my security has to do a background check and all that other stuff. And then when people do it for their own personal gain, they manufacture and then they go to the dark side. I was just talking about that with Linda right before we came in to Bible study.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Also, what I glean from the scriptures is that one gift is no better than the other. That's why he explained it the way of the body. So we shouldn't think or get jealous with somebody because, okay, that person may be called to be a prophet and maybe you are a healer or, you know, you may be operating in your gift and they just learning. So for us to not get carnal minded and thinking to make it some competition and gifts, because all the gifts are through the Spirit, which don't have nothing to do with us, because he already said gifts come without repentance. So ain't no need to get puffed up about it, none of it, like it's you, because that's when you take the will of Yah out of it anyway and you work in it in a demonic way.
Right. And
it's you doing anything.
Right. And the funny thing about it, if you just really think about it, it's also simple. God is so magnificent. What makes you think that he would send your mail to somebody else? Why be jealous? Why? Why do you have to be jealous for anything or anybody? God is ultimate everything. You think he's going to sit up there and send your mail to Sister Slewfoot? It doesn't happen that way.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Let's go real quickly to 1 Corinthians, I think we should all see this, because it correlates with what Paul is discussing. I think we want to go to probably to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Give me a moment.
No problem.
Maybe three. Yeah, let's go to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter.
1 Corinthians, third chapter.
Okay. Because Paul also was talking to this epistle, this letter that Paul has written. He said a lot of things. You should go back and read from the beginning of Corinthians all the way through to what we're reading today. It shouldn't take you but about an hour of reading. But Paul was dealing with some things with this church. And again, the Church of Corinth was a church that sat right on the outskirts of Rome. It was the place where many of the gladiators retired and went to after they'd killed many people. So they had PTSD. Right? You don't get to kill people and not suffer the consequences of taking life. And so many of those folks had PTSD. It was also the place where they sent many of the Diana worshipers to when they were through with them, because many of the Diana worshipers and the Venus Aphrodite worshipers, so they sort of kind of mingled the Greek and the Italian, right? And so Greek was the Aphrodite and Diana worshipers, but these were mostly prostitutes. That's why the Bible even spoke to tell them to cover their heads, because they were shaven, bald-headed. And they would start to come out of that and come to church. They were newcomers. They were coming to church to learn about Christ, but they were also carrying with them the things that they had been led by, like we talked about first part of 12. They were led, meaning they had their own belief system. They were intermingling their belief system into the church, which is why Paul told them, suffer them not to speak. He was not talking about anointed women of God. Women have a right to not only speak, they have a right to preach, They have a right to teach. They have a right to evangelize. They have a right to prophesy. And they even have a right to become prophetesses. Prophecy and prophetess are different. A prophet is someone that God commands, because if you go into the Old Testament, God said, I will do nothing in the earth without informing my prophet first. So a prophet or a prophetess is hearing from God for the purpose of making sure information is getting to God's people about the moves of God. Prophecy is someone that can sit back and look at you and say, oh, you got a new car coming, because they can read your spirit. They can read the very atmosphere that's around you for whatever reason God gave them that gift, and they can tell you things are coming. If you confuse a prophecy with a prophet, you can get your life messed up, because you're thinking this person is supposed to be giving you guidance over your spiritual growth, and they're just there to tell you what God is doing in your life. That's why you can have soothsayers and people who do, people who do astrology, and they can tell you what's going to happen in a day. Those people have the gift of prophecy was born in them, but it's not serving God, so it's serving Satan. And so Paul began to talk about one very special thing in all of this. And when you get it to three, he talks about this. Watch this. 3:1. Paul says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual people, but I had to talk to you like you were carnal, even as though you were even babies in Christ. I fed you with milk, and I couldn't give you the meat, because up to this point, up to this point, you were not able to bear the meat, because the meat can sometimes choke, right? Mm-hmm. The meat can make you regurgitate. And so by the time we get to 12, Paul is trying to tell folk, that's why you need to seek spiritual gifts, because the spiritual gifts will take you off the milk and put you into the meat category. You stop going and looking for the infomeal, and you start going to look for the whole cow. Give me the meat, because I'm ready to do the work. And so if there's envy inside of the church, that's come what on. He was talking about. That's carnality still living in us. And we've been building on an unfirm foundation. I hope I don't hurt nobody's feelings. You could build, you know, the analogy Jesus gave when he said, what man puts new wine in an old wineskin?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of folk that put some new wine in their old wineskin. They didn't dump out enough to let God put in a new creature. They dumped out just enough to start receiving this new wine from God, and the new wine is built on a carnal foundation.
Yes.
Therefore, I can sit back and talk to you about Jesus and tell you how good he is, and I can cuss my wife out in the next 5 minutes, because there's a foundation that's a little shaky and I didn't catch it, because I started building on something without dumping out enough to let him build it properly. Because Jesus doesn't just remodel, he tears down to rebuild. And it's important, I hope I'm talking to somebody. He tears down to rebuild. And how you know he's rebuilding is when you find out, I can't curse anymore. It don't feel right. That means something got torn down. When you get to a place where you go, I can't tell that lie. Something got torn down. You ain't just being remodeled. You're being demolished to be rebuilt. And it's a very, very important thing, because a lot of people, is anybody following where I'm going here? Because a lot of people come in church, and this is why we get church hurt. A lot of people come in church, and they come in church for the purpose of getting better. And our reason for coming to Christ should be to be made new.
Right.
Behold, if any man be in Christ, all things have been torn down so that all things can be made new. And so I have to be willing to be torn down in order to be built up.
Come on, come on.
Praise the Lord.
Right? Come on.
And I know that ain't easy. And it ain't easy, because we just survived on what we were led by. Anybody getting this now? Verse 12:1, verse 12 too, you were led by dumb idols. And so we've survived on what we knew. Now we come in the kingdom and he starts to demolishing everything we know. And that's hard for me. Probably not for y'all. I know y'all super saints. Praise the Lord. I know it's angels floating around you right now playing harps and music. I know that. Amen. Yeah. But I'm saying for me, it wasn't easy because I had to literally go to a place where I recognized I don't know anything yet.
Yeah. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had to let him dump me out to begin the process of building me up. I had to learn new vernacular. I had to learn how to, and this one's a good one, family. I had to learn how to process things through my mind differently because what I'm led by is my mind.
Yeah.
And if my mind is processing God's information improperly, then I'm getting improper results out of proper input. Oh, God. You dug out gold, but by the time you put it through me, it came out as lead. And I need to recognize that I have to become a reverse alchemist. I have to be able to take lead from out of my life and turn it into gold. And that only the Holy Ghost can do.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah.
He'll teach me how to talk right. I won't just be talking. He'll teach me how to speak eloquently. He'll teach me how to tell people they're doing something wrong, but I'll say it with so much love they'll actually hear it for the first time in their life, rather than when I was accusatorily speaking to them and saying, you need to stop. You just all the time messing up. That's accusatory, and it's coming from a place of judgment, and we never realize that while we think that they're hearing us, they are regurgitating the words. That's why the kids don't straighten out. God. That's why the relationship, the love relationship, the husband and wife, that's why the argument is still taking place. Because I know how to talk, I just haven't learned how to talk properly yet.
Come on.
So I have to let him dump that out. I have to stop functioning out of my personal belief system and what I've been taught and trained into me as to how I'm supposed to interact in a world that's run by Satan. Because that's what we were taught to deal with. Anybody get this? Does this make sense to you? I hope and pray you hear me. Right? You were taught how to survive in a world that's ran by Satan. That's why Jesus makes it clear to us when Satan says, if you'll just bow down and worship me, Jesus, I'll give you all the world, this one and the ones to come, which tells you he runs the world. He just didn't make it because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So therefore the world is his, but the systems belong to Satan.
Yeah.
So when I was raised up, to learn how to navigate a world full of demons. Now I've stepped into the kingdom, and God is saying, you're going to have to learn how to navigate this now. Because in the kingdom ain't the world no more.
Right.
You can go check your tool bags, because that's all we had was tools. We were just surviving. And there's no reason for me to feel bad about the person I was. There's no reason for me to beat myself up over any of that mess, right? Because I just had a tool bag that was allowing me. It had tools in it. And if somebody said something bad to me, I knew how to cuss them out. That was a tool bag. If somebody acted like they wanted to fight, well, I knew how to hit them first. That was part of the tool bag. My mama taught me, don't you dare let that boy put his hands on you. Next time somebody looked like they're going to, you do this. That was in my tool bag. Praise the Lord. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Some of us still got some of them tools. And, and so when I came into the kingdom and I started hearing stuff like, if a man slap you, turn the other cheek, that wasn't in my tool bag. And when I came and started reading and realizing, he said, pray for those who despitefully use you. That's not in my tool bag, right? No, I'll pray on them. I'll go get them. But what am I going to be praying for them for?
Yeah.
Right? When he told me not to judge. I've been judging things all my life. That's not in the tool bag. So I had to go in the tool.
Yeah.
Some of us have to go into the tool bag and look in the tool bag so we can toss the tools out and be re-equipped for the kingdom.
You know what, Pastor?
Yes, ma'am. Talk to me.
What scripture is coming to mind, and it's, you know, you basically explaining all that. It's, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. You basically, like you said, dump that whole tool bag out because those ways no longer work. That basically he got some new stuff and some new ways for you to operate. And it first starts with your mind. So your mindset have to be able to change in order to receive the new. But none of that is out with the old and in with
the
new. Dumped out the old. No longer work. And he's just reminding us, I got some new stuff.
We got some new tools. Can somebody tell me?
Hallelujah.
Can somebody share with us, what new tools do you need? Let's talk about that. What new tools?
Bible study.
Uh-huh.
This Bible study.
That's a new tool. Praise the Lord. There you go, sis.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
The Bible study, because that's how we get the equipping of the saints. That's where that comes from.
Right.
The equipment means new tools. Praise the Lord.
Right.
All right.
And the new tools is the changing of the language, like you said, switching from cuss words, you know, the cuss words to him giving you a whole new vocabulary, you know. And it's a gift. We got to give to receive. So if we're willing to give these things up, he got something new for us. You know, we just have to be willing to give up our old ways and our old ways of surviving and thinking.
Hallelujah.
From that mentally, physically,
spiritually
too, because we was led by some spirits. It just wasn't Holy Spirit, you know?
All
right, let's go around the room. Let's talk about tools. Somebody tell me what tools they could use, because we're going to close out in prayer tonight when we talk about these tools, and we have an expectation. The Bible says if any two of you, not just touch and agree, but if the two of you, if you come together, I'm going to be in the midst, but if you touch and agree, I'll do what you ask. I'm going to ask us to ask for new tools.
Yes,
Lord.
As an example. As an example, just to give you some idea. If I'm still talking to my wife, then there's some times that I still even slip up and go, hey, honey, can you bring me honey, bring me some bread, right?
Yeah.
But I should have said, can you bring me some bread? I'm not her daddy. Amen. Amen. Right? And she ain't my mama. Praise the Lord. And I'm grown. And at this age, even my mama wouldn't go, you're better, boy. There's some things that we say that open up doors for the enemy to come right into our relationship with the people we love the most and dearly. Because we haven't learned little simple things like, can I? Is it okay if I? Do you mind? Sometimes we want to talk to family members. We walk right in and say, I want to talk to you. But we rarely go in and say, hey, is this a good time for us to talk? So I can get agreement from the person so they'll actually be tuned in to what I'm saying and we'll have a real dialogue. But am I making sense to anybody? So what tools can we look for from God? I'm going to go around the room. I'm going to start with Sister Deborah. Are there some new tools that we could use, Sister Deborah?
Yes. We should be able to call and say to members in the church, Hi, how are you? I'm calling to check on you. So a phone call, start there and just doing a checking on you would be a good tool.
What's the tool of caring?
Amen. So, Sister Deborah, we're going to give you that responsibility because that tool is there. That's why you wanted to show up. Praise the Lord. Let's keep going. Amen. Amen. Right? Amen. All right, let's go on to the next person. Sister Angela, what tools can you use? What tools are you looking for from God? New tools.
New tools. I'm going to say, when life is lifing, and instead of going elsewhere, going straight to the throne of God.
Okay, so when storms are coming, instead of you reaching out to other people, you want to be able to reach straight towards God.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what is that tool?
More prayer.
That's the action.
That prayer
of it.
Tool.
More prayer?
Yeah,
okay.
More prayer. Staying in more prayer.
Wow. Okay. All right. More prayer. That's the tool, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're going to leave here with that tonight, and we're going to talk about that next week. I'm going over to our sister from that has the Philadelphia phone number, Sister Linda, that lives in Chicago. I mean, lives in Madison. Sister Linda?
Mm-hmm. I would say praise and worship.
Okay.
Praise and worship.
Okay.
Yes, I'm looking at developing deeper into praise and worship as a tool, as my go-to even, you know, when faced with things, and especially because, you know, like we've been talking about tonight, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, and not making it a personal issue and making it a God issue and taking it to Him, as opposed to, you know, automatically going on the offense or the attack of that person. Because I'm not wrestling with them anyway. And praise
Amen.
And worship is a tool, a weapon even. And so I am just asking the Lord to continue, you know, to develop more in that area.
Yeah, praise the Lord. And that is awesome. We're going to petition the Lord before we leave here. We're going to ask God to give you the tools you're looking for. And Sister Libby, you're spot on. Mm-hmm. Praise is more than a tool. It's a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
a gun. Pointed directly
yes.
at Satan's head, that if
yes.
you use it well, it'll make him. That's why the Bible says praise confuses the enemy.
The enemy, exactly.
That means it's pointed directly at his head.
Yes.
It brings confusion to him, and then anything that's confused don't know how to defeat you.
Exactly.
I love
Amen.
That. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Sister Annie.
Sister is downstairs. She's deep. It's just me up here.
Okay. Your tools, Brother Flowers.
Patience and listen and just and the ability to just listen to people. You know, just sometimes, you know, you're not assuming what they're going to say. Just listen. Hear people. Let them talk, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, praise the Lord.
Listen to understand, not to respond.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just listen.
Amen. So you're asking for the gift of understanding, and she's absolutely right, because understanding or the desire to understand will help you to listen.
Uh-huh. That's true. That's
the
true.
The desire to understand produces the ability to listen, because you don't want to make a bad judgment. You don't want to make a bad decision. You don't want to make a bad moves, and you certainly don't want to move without God. And so listening allows you to hear not just the person, but it also lets you hear the Holy Spirit when he's ready to advise. That's a powerful tool. Let's go to Sister Jackie Abrams. What tools can you, what tools would you desire from God?
Kindness? More kindness. If, say, for instance, I call you and I would say to you, I would ask you, is this a good time to talk?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or what, are you busy?
Mm-hmm.
If I want to start with a question, you know, and then present what it is we want to talk about, you know. I think that's being kind. Because you're considering that person before you make the call.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So that, yes, ma'am.
And you don't wanna take that person or distract that person. That'll keep you from distracting them. You know, because if they're into something already, and they need to concentrate on it, then you're an interruption. At least that's the way I don't want to interrupt them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, well said. And yes, ma'am. And so let's define that tool so you can get that tool. So that tool that you're looking, that you just spoke on, is the gift of consideration. That's being considerate. Right?
Yeah.
And so it's a beautiful gift to have. Does everybody have that gift, and does everybody want that gift? Consideration?
Yeah.
Yes, one.
Four.
Anybody else?
Yeah.
Amen. Anybody else?
Oh, I
have it.
Okay. So I'm going to ask everybody, if you have a pencil, I want you to write this down or something to write with, please. Write this down, please.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly what I was describing when I was saying, can I, do you mind, is it all right? That is the gift of consideration that does that. It's when I begin to recognize that everyone has their own space.
Mm-hmm.
And they should have, I should respect their space by not overpowering it with my space.
Right.
Even though we may be connected as husband and wife, parents and children, they still have the right to their space. And if I'm not considerate, I don't think of their space. I think of what I want to say, what I need, what I want from them. And I just throw that at them. And more often than not, I'm disappointed because they throw something back at me that I didn't want to hear.
Right.
They throw back, right? No, I'm too busy. No, leave me alone. No, this, because of that. So write this down, please. These words, can I? We all know them. We're going to learn to use them because they're powerful tools. Do you mind? Can I? Yep.
What did you say?
Can I? This is how we should preface every conversation we have, whether it's business, personal, family, and even interpersonal. Because I have space within my space. I have to ask myself, is this a good time to consider these things? Because I can't just throw stuff into my head and just take off in every direction based on whatever wants to come up and I think I need to. Sometimes I have to ask myself, is this a good time, right, for me to work on this problem?
Yeah.
Can it wait? Right?
Right.
Is it a priority? So people have that same... They have that same border and boundary around them without us knowing the boundaries there. So we're going to find out how to get through those boundaries tonight. So they can I. The next one is, do you mind? Please write it down. And if you use this and come back next week, I promise you, you'll say, wow, that works. Do you mind? That should preface before we ask anybody to do anything. Do you mind taking off? Even my children. Hey, do you mind taking off the garbage? And if he says, oh, I'm too busy, when will you take it out? Right? He says 2 days later and it needs to go out because it's pungent now. No, we need a different date now.
Yeah.
But he can hear that because it started right. If I started off with, go and get this garbage out of here. Take that garbage out. It shuts down the ability of the person to hear clearly, and they take it as an affrontation rather than a conversation. Praise the Lord.
And a confrontation.
Yep. A confrontation. Yep. So can I? Do you mind? Next one. Is it all right? Everybody got it? Is it okay? Is it okay if we talk right now? Not let's talk. Praise the Lord. Is it okay if we talk right now? Just as Jackie was saying. Is it okay? Oh, it is? Okay. Let me share what next thing. I want you to write this down. Don't beat around the bush and don't hide the subject in the bush.
Right.
Somebody doesn't see it.
I've had people to talk for 2.5 hours before they actually said what they were getting ready to say. They only called about one thing. Talked for 2.5 hours. And then it's like, oh, you know what I wanted to ask? Well, you just wasted the other 2.5 hours of conversation because we weren't talking about much of anything. And I'm trying to figure out, what are we talking about? Why are we talking about this? And all you had to say was, is it okay if I do this? Or do you mind doing this? Or, right? Here's what I'm asking. Everybody getting this?
Yes,
tools. Amen. There are tools in your tool bag, and those tools will bring out the gift.
Yes.
Tools will sharpen your gifts.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Right? Don't beat around the bush.
Yeah.
Get to the point. Next thing, the thing that Paul said, speak the truth. Write this down, please. Speak the truth in love. In love is the part that's hard. Being the truth ain't hard. You getting on my last nerve. That wasn't hard. You don't take your shoes off at the door. I done told you 1,000 times. Take them shoes off. You're messing up the look. That's not hard. That's the truth. But if I spoken in love and said, if you don't take off the shoes, you're going to mess up the carpet. And if you mess up the carpet, so I'm asking you to take them off, because if you mess it up, I'm going to expect you to clean it up.
Oh,
now I spoke the truth, and it had love in it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Got it?
Yes.
Here's the other side, because you have to protect yourself, too. I can't right now. Write that down.
I can't right now.
I can't right now. Because you always get a lot of requests that you're sitting back and you know you're agitated and aggravated and angry because they're doing it right now, and I can't right now, but we won't say a word. Can we do it later?
Yeah.
Is this helping anybody? I hope and pray it is.
Yes, sir.
Can we do it later?
I like
right?
that.
Because you have to protect yourself. Because people are crossing your boundaries a lot. If you're human. If you're not, you got everybody in control. Well, you're the Messiah. Come on over to the church and preach for us. so we can hear word from the Lord. Glory to God. Right? Mm-hmm. So, right? I can't right now. Can we talk later? Is there a better time? Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
What is the point? Write that down. That helps to stop the people that have talked for 2 hours and never make the point. You can hear it. That's what the gift of discernment is about. That's how you know you got it. You can tell this child getting ready to ask me for some money. You can hear it. Right?
What
can we
want?
Get to the point?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got it?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask you to utilize those phraseologies, and I guarantee you, you'll see some different results. You'll see people respond differently. Mm-hmm. You'll see them act differently towards you. Because our tool bag, as we were led in 12:2, as we were led, what Paul said, that we are functioning out of the tool bag that we brought out of the enemy's world. Now we're in the kingdom. And it's funny, somebody told me this one day, it changed my whole mind. And they said to me, you know, I was talking about the kids and how sometimes they do certain things. And I was very young in my walk. And I was straightening that out. I told them they can't do this. They can't do that. So for my son, the person asked me, well, how did you say it? And I said, like I'm supposed to say it. No, you can't do this, so forth and so on. And he asked me this question. He said, do you know that you are the oil and the wine? And I said, you mean the anointing of God? Somebody says, yeah, the oil and the wine, which you see in Revelation, the 6th chapter. You're the oil and the wine where God says you can't hurt the oil and the wine. That's us. And he says, do you know every time somebody comes to you with a problem, they're expecting you to pour out oil, not sour milk. Oh, God. Oh, somebody help me. You got anointing in you. They know that you have knowledge and wisdom, the 9 gifts of the Spirit we just read. They know that the knowledge is there, the wisdom is there. They know that the long-suffering is there. They know that the gift of faith is there. They know those things because they see you use those things, and they'll be coming to you to get those things, and we'll give them carnality if we're not careful.
Well,
and we need to give them the oil and the wine.
We need to write that down. Give oil and not spoil milk.
Yes, ma'am. The oil and the wine. If somebody gets on my nerve and I'm ready to go, they just don't never get it right. That's spoiled milk in the kingdom. The wine is, I'm going to need more patience for this, God, because I know that if you put them in my proximity, everybody say I'm a believer. And we'll be getting ready to get out here. Just say the words. I'm a believer. Right?
I'm a believer.
I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Say it. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost.
I'm a believer.
All right, watch what I'm getting ready to say. There was not one person that Jesus ever touched that got worse.
Come on, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Anybody hear that? Praise the Lord. Did you hear that? If it's around you, it should prosper. If it's around you, it should be growing. If it's around you, it should be getting better. And so everything in your proximity is a test from God to see if you understand any of the gifts that he gave you. It's all a really big test.
That's
and
how
if
I
you
do
don't it. Pass the test, you retake it. Go ahead, Sister of Water. Sorry.
I said that's how I choose ministry too, but that's also how we should look at our homes, because that's our first ministry. Yes, there should be growth.
Amen. So the floor is open at 7:06. We'll be closing shortly. Any thoughts, closing thoughts as we get ready to go? It was a wonderful, thank you, Sister Wanda, for bringing us 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and talking about spiritual gifts. It's wonderful. You have these gifts, family. You don't get to duck out on them. You can't hide them. They're there. People see them even if you don't pay attention to them yourself. Most people know it. That's why they call you, because they know you got a gift for something. Even if it's a gift to manufacture money, they'll call you because they know I'm going to be able to get that from you. Say it again?
Yeah. I said I do have something to say. It brought in mind to me when we were, was that in Romans where we were talking about him giving the gift to multiply them? He gave one, you know, two and three for them to multiply it. That's how we're supposed to use our gifts if we have them, because a lot of us are afraid and we sit on using our gifts, and it doesn't matter if he give you one and somebody else two. It doesn't make them more significant than you, but we should just really all just use our gifts to the best that he has given us, like with no certain measure. Yes.
I just had a comment too. When we was talking, this is Sister Wanda. Putting on the fruits of the Spirit is a good start. Amen. That love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control that a lot of us don't have at times. And so these are, you know, seen as a result of living under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and continue to live under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I just wanted to share that.
Amen.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Amen.
I wanted to say too that just my little thoughts, people who have been churching for a long time, people who have been in search of somebody to ordain and stuff like that, a lot of churches will see your gifts and dismiss you, or see your gifts and put you in a different ministry, or see your gifts and get jealous of you, and they will not ordain you.
That's a saying. That's true.
That's true.
Say that again, Brother Rick. What did you say?
It's a saying, but it's so true.
It's so true.
Yeah, and that's, see why I said that Paul was also talking about gift envying when he was talking about, should one say that the other one ain't no good because it's a hand and I'm a foot and so forth and so on. He's also talking about gift envying. Now, please hear me. Anybody on here feel like they're called to do something? Anybody on the line that has that? Mm-hmm. Amen. I got
very
one yes.
Much so.
Two, three, four,
yes,
five,
absolutely.
Six.
Yes.
Anybody else?
Yes.
All right. Here's what I'm giving. Let me share with you how God moves in your calling. The oil, that means the anointing or the ordaining, typically flows from the top to the bottom, like painting a wall. You don't paint from the bottom going up because the paint will start spilling on what you already painted. So everything that you do, water runs downstream, right? So there's sort of kind of a natural process with God, but I want you to catch the main point. So we get that. Oil runs from the top to the bottom. If the oil at the top is tainted, it can't run down. So what God makes it do is run up, meaning there'll be people that'll see your gift even if the people in the church that are supposed to see it don't.
Amen.
So when the oil is tainted on the top, it won't run down, and that's why people don't get ordinations. That's why nobody's trying to train anybody. That's why this particular Bible study is so imperative, because we are a discipleship training church. We're here to support and bring out the best of you. Apostles don't have no pat on the back knees. We talked about that earlier today with Sister Wanda. I'm a servant, here to serve God's people, to get you fed up, strengthened up, girded up, so you can lead, because we are in a time when, as Esther said, we are being called for such a time as this. If you could go back through the past, like Dr. King said one day in one of his speeches, he said, if I could ride with God on the wings of life and wings of time, I would have went back to the beginning of time, and I would have seen what he did when he created Adam and Eve. Oh, but I wouldn't have stopped there. He went on to say, and if I could go forward to the time of the great philosophers where we saw Plato and Aristotle and Euripides, he said, I'd have hung out with them for a minute, but I wouldn't have stopped there. He said, I would have fast-forwarded through God back to where I am right now because I am here for such a time as this.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
You are here right now, not by accident, but by God's divine providence. You have a mission. You have a calling. You just need it trained up. And you need to be around someone that you trust. If you don't trust me, find somebody that you do. Because you'll never be able to hear from who you can't trust.
Amen.
You'll never learn from who you don't think can teach. You'll never grow if you're not in the right soil. Hey, glory to God.
Amen.
I can take a palm tree out of Florida and stick it into the ground here in Wisconsin. It won't grow simply because the environment is not right. Ain't nothing wrong with the palm tree.
That's right.
There's nothing wrong with the palm tree. It's the environment that I stuck it in to keep it from growing. And so in all reality, if you're going to grow, get around someone that you trust, not some folks with just the title, but get around some folk that you can see the fruit on the tree. Get around some people that love you, not because of who you think you are, but they love you in spite of where you're at. You'll grow. Get around some folk that don't mind sacrificing a little bit of their life in order to increase what's needed in your life.
Hallelujah.
Get around some people who love Jesus so much, they don't need to be out in front of you. They want to be on the side of you, walking with you.
Amen.
You'll grow.
Get
around some folks that don't need you to acknowledge their title 25 times in every service, but get around some people that's acknowledging and prophesying who you're going to be on every Sunday. You'll grow.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Don't let your title take it. Can't keep you. Glory. Oil is meant to run downhill. And if what's on the hill is tainted, and I ain't talking about sin, I'm talking about pride. Because the only thing that taints an anointed man of God or a woman of God is their own personal pride. Because God gave you the gifts. He wants you to use the gifts. But if you got pride, you want to be acknowledged. You need to be appreciated. You want to have a pastor celebration every 6 months. You need somebody to do something on your birthday. You need somebody to do something to buy you a new car. You need all that mess. That's pride. And it's tainting the kingdom.
Amen.
Right, they didn't do it back in the biblical days.
You never seen Jesus once walking around talking about, I need a Jesus Appreciation Day. Y'all get together and make me dinner.
Come on.
Is it all right to talk like that?
Yeah.
Because we miss those things. We miss those finite little items in the Bible because we're so busy listening to somebody explain what Jesus already explained.
Amen. Yeah.
What I want somebody to do is develop what I already got. You don't have to teach me to be something new. You need to develop what God already gave. I got gifts. I have things that God has given me. Help me to be the best of what I can be. Everybody's not the same. Everybody don't have to be the same. You don't have to be quiet because the person next to you is quiet. Somebody else wants to worship in the back, jump and shout. You sitting up in the front wondering what's wrong with them. That ain't your business. However they worship God is how they worship God. How you worship God is how you worship God, because it's all one body. It's all us.
Come on.
And there's just us, J-E-S-U-S. There's just us in Jesus. So you need to stop worrying about everything. Oh, God, I better stop. We should stop worrying about so much and start functioning out of our calling. Let me just walk in wherever I am. If I'm the hand, let me just be a hand and be the best hand in town.
Yes, come on.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
If I'm a reader, let me read, but let me be the best reader God can ever have. I want angels to say, man, he didn't do nothing else, but that was the best reader God ever put on the planet. He could read and reach. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I think, amen. Everybody say, I receive it, right? Say, I receive it. Amen. And I'm asking everyone, as we get ready to leave and close out in prayer, Sister Hawanda, I'm going to ask you to do that for us, please. But as we leave here and close out in prayer, please listen to me and carry this with you until we meet again. Carry this with you. The gift you ask for is going to show up. If you are disobedient, it is going to go away. You're going to feel the gift this week. You're going to use the gift while you're going, can I, may I, do you mind? Is it all right? Can we do that later? When you're doing that, you're going to feel that gift. When that gift shows up, the compassion is going to show up for somebody, right? The spirit of worship is going to show up for somebody. Amen. The spirit of patience is going to show up for somebody. Everything you ask for is going to show up. But if you don't keep it, it won't be because of God, because there's no fault in him. It'll be because you diverted back to where you came from. Keep going forward.
Yeah.
Amen, everybody. Praise the Lord. I hope and praise Sister Linda. Thank you for being here. We praise God for you. Thank you for joining us. Brother Isaac, thank you for staying here with us. We know you have a heck of a schedule that you have to keep, but thank you for staying in there. And Isaac, stay strong in the Lord. It's coming. Trust the Lord. Just keep going. Praise God. Sister Hawanda, would you close us out in prayer, please?
Yes. Yeah, we love you. We praise you. We lift you up. We magnify you. We give you all the glory. Hallelujah. We
give
God. You all the glory, honor, and praise that's due to your name. So I thank you for a reminder on today that we all have gifts and that we must walk worthy of the call in order to be activated and used by you. So I pray right now that you uproot and remove the spirit of fear that will keep us stagnant, that will keep us in doubt, thinking that we are not enough or we are not this or we are not that, so that we are not and that we are not the one, because you already let us know that we are the ones. Yes, so we receive. We receive. So we ask you right now to give us the spirit of obedience, because you will give us the unction in the spirit to move, to talk, to speak. Hallelujah. So I pray right now that we begin to walk worthy in obedience, that we may follow your unction of Holy Spirit. When you tell us to move, that we going to move. When you say speak, we going to speak.
God.
When you say do, we going to do. Hallelujah. So I pray right now that you bring every spirit subject unto Holy Spirit right now. Hallelujah. That we won't even speak without you. We will ask for your permission. We ask for your permission. We ask for your permission that we give you full submission. We submit our whole will, not a piece of our will, to you, because we need you to work on us from mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially over our whole life, because it's easy for us to surrender a piece to you, but we want to surrender. Ooh, we want to surrender all on today. We want to surrender all on today. We want to surrender all on today. And in the ways and in the areas that we don't know how, we asking you for help right now, Holy Spirit. You said to ask and it shall be given to us. So we come and we ask you right now to help us to surrender in every area of our life, because you said we can cast all our cares upon you, because you care for us on today. And we know that you are the one that will never leave us nor forsake us, that you said you will be there even until the very end. So we thank you right now,
God,
for being a friend that sits closer than any
brother.
Thank you for being a mother to the motherless. Thank you for being a father to the fatherless. Thank you for being a lawyer in the courtroom. Thank you for being a doctor in the sick room. Thank you for being a confidant. For like somebody's request was that we just come straight to you, because we know that your answer is perfection. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let us not marvel or think that you don't understand and that you don't know, because you are the only one that's all knowing. So we seek to just come straight to you, the source of everything that we need, not some things. You are everything that we need, and we acknowledge you on today. We acknowledge you on today. We acknowledge you as Lord of our life on today. And if we did it, if we didn't, forgive us,
forgive us, because you are the head of our lives. And if you haven't been, we decree and declare on today that you will begin to be the head of our life every day, and that evidence will follow us making you the head of our life. We'll put you first in everything, because you said, acknowledge me in all of your ways, and you will direct our paths, not in some things,
yes,
but
God,
in all things, even the things that we don't understand. You said, ask me about it. Talk to me about it. Hallelujah. Surrender it to me. Give it to me. I know, and I have a way of escape for you. He says he has a way of escape. He has a way of escape. So we acknowledge you today in all of our ways.
Yes,
We need you. We need you like we have never needed you before today. So we ask you to strengthen us in the areas that we are weak, that you lift us above down head, that you mend the broken heart on today. Somebody have a request that they need to make known unto you today. And he is willing and he is ready to answer by fire. I pray that you burn up every inch of sin that's in us, huh? That you take us through the fire, and that you give us the strength to stay strong in the fire, knowing that we may go through the fire, but we ain't going to come out smelling like smoke. That's why it's important for us to study your words, because you will take us into the fiery furnace, but we won't get burned if we just trust you, if we lean on you, if we put all our hope in you on today. Hallelujah. We may grow through things, but we know that it all things work together for the good of them that love y'all and that are called according to his purpose. So I thank you that it's working for our good. It ain't what it looks like. So I praise you. I worship you. I lift you up. I magnify you. I thank you that victory is already our portion. Because you paid it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't take you for granted on today. Hallelujah. We don't take you for granted. So allow us to be examples that we can make disciples out of men. You called us, hallelujah, and I thank you for equipping us for the call. For your glory is not for us. All the glory, honor, and praise belong to you. And we just say thank you for everything that went forth on today. And I thank you that the anointing flows from the head down. I thank you for the spiritual father and spiritual mother that you have given us, and that they are in their rightful place, that we may be receive the unadulterated word of Yah. And for these things we don't take for granted. We thank you, and we give you glory, and we give you honor, that we are not stagnant, that we are in a place where we can grow and flourish, not for us, that we won't get caught up in ourselves, we won't become proud and boastful, but that we will begin to give all the glory, honor, and praise to you, because we know it all belongs to you, and we just want to say thank you for what you are doing in our life, and everything that you are about to do. We thank you in advance. We thank you in advance because you say, well, two or more are gathered in your name, and we also touch and agree. Hallelujah. We have made our request known to you, and I know you said your word will not fall to the ground. It's going to go out and accomplish everything that you sent it out to do. And we thank you and we praise you in advance, because we know that it's already done. And the enemy that will come to try to rob us of what you have already given, we rebuke him. We resist him right now. You have no dominion and power, only what we give you. So we tell you right now that you are defeated foe, and you won't trick us out of our destiny this time. You won't trick us out of our blessing this time. You won't trick us out of our praise and rob us of our praise this time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So I say, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in our sight. Hallelujah. Anything that comes to hinder our prayers, we pray that you uproot and destroy it right now by fire. In the mighty name of Yahshua, that we present our body back to you, holy and as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable in thy sight, that we may have clean hands and a clean heart, that we may be used whenever you desire.
Amen.
And we just say thank you. Whenever you desire for us to be used, as we stay submitted and surrendered unto you.
We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And we just pray for the sick, the afflicted, the lost, the lonely, the hungry, those who are even locked away. We pray for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, those who are going through disaster after disaster after disaster. I thank you that we are in this world, but we are not of this world, and we don't suffer the things of the world. And I thank you that we are kingdom children, and that you got a ram in the bush for us, and we don't have to worry about the news. We don't have to worry about the news, because our news is in the word. You already told us that we victorious. And everything that belongs to us, you said we are more than conquerors. You said that you have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. We thank you for the good news. So we're going to stand on the word, the one that won't never change and one that won't fall to the ground, not the news of men. We believe the report of Yah. And we thank you.
Yes, God.
We thank you that we are on your agenda and in your plan, and that you have given us the gift of life one more chance and one more time to get it right. So help us to find ourselves worthy in you, not in ourselves. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. I pray for those who desire to be here and that couldn't be here. I pray for those who desire to be here that couldn't make it to our life study on today, and I pray that you lift them up, that you build them up, that you strengthen them, that you find them in the place that you will have them, they are doing the work of the kingdom right now, even where they are, because there's still purpose. There's still purpose no matter what. So I thank you for what you are even doing in their life. I thank you that you are changing and transforming them. I thank you that you are renewing them, that you are strengthening them, that you are pulling them up out of a horrible pit, and that you placing their feet on a solid foundation. Hallelujah, that you working everything out of them that you ain't called to be in them, that we may become better and better and better in you. And I say thank you that we are all better. We are becoming better and better and better in you because we are being consistent. We are being intentional, hallelujah, on doing the things that you have called us to do. And I just want to say thank you, Yah. We magnify you all over again. We lift you up.
Yes,
and I can't praise you enough. I can't worship you enough, because all the glory, honor, and praise belong to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I say this prayer. I seal this prayer with the blood, that it should never be undone. These things we ask in your son's mighty name, in Yahshua's mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We've already stayed 29 minutes beyond our time, but if there's a closing thought that someone needs to share and is burning hot on your heart and it's the Spirit leading, please do.
Amen. Two days later.
Amen. I think we're good. So good night, everyone. We'll see you next Wednesday. God bless. Get your tube out the tube bag. Praise the Lord.
Good night,
everyone.
Love you all.
Love you all.